Coronavirus update for Thursday, December 10th, 2020, from the Recording Library of West Texas. I'm Michael. Here are some of the articles that we will be reading this afternoon. FDA approves at-home test that can be bought without a prescription. El Paso reports highest daily total of deaths due to COVID-19. One in three U.S. hospitals nationwide topped 90% ICU capacity last week. Newly released HHS data reveals. A Reno hospital turned its parking garage into a new wing to treat coronavirus patients. U.S. regulators are on the cusp of authorizing a COVID-19 vaccine. Here are key dates to watch. CDC official outlines how COVID-19 vaccines will be ordered and distributed once authorized. And then a longer piece from the New York Times. Small town, no hospital. COVID-19 is overwhelming rural West Texas. First, looking at the numbers from the Odessa American, Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 10,275. Ector County negative, 35,009 out of 45,841 tested and 557 pending. 154 deaths. Recovered, 8,562. Active, 1,559. ECISD daily cases, 12 students, 8 staff. From the Midland Reporter-Telegram, region's number of COVID patients creeps closer to 15%. COVID rooms occupied, COVID CCU, 25. 81% occupied. COVID wards, 66. 79% occupied. Total, 91. Percentage of COVID rooms occupied, 79%. 7-day average, 87%. Midland County, as of Monday, 8,564 confirmed, 155 deaths. From the Texas Tribune, average new cases in Texas increased by 2,433 cases compared with the 7-day average a week ago. On December 9th, 10,930 new cases were reported. Hospitalizations decreased by 56 patients compared with a week ago. As of December 9th, 9,053 Texans are hospitalized for the coronavirus. Average new deaths increased by 74 deaths compared with the 7-day average a week ago. On December 9th, 273 new deaths in Texas were reported. Now here are coronavirus briefs. As of right now, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's Advisory Committee is holding a key meeting to consider emergency use authorization for Pfizer and BioNTech's COVID-19 vaccine as cases continue to rise in the country. FDA has found Pfizer vaccine manufacturing quality is adequate to support emergency use authorization. FDA's initial assessment of Pfizer's vaccine is that it meets criteria, Commissioner says. Canada granted emergency approval for the vaccine after health officials determined it met safety, efficacy, and quality requirements. For the first time in the course of the pandemic, the United States reported more than 3,100 deaths in a single day, according to a Washington Post analysis. With overtaxed intensive care units running out of beds in many parts of the country, the number of people hospitalized with COVID-19 reached a record 106,000 on Wednesday. CDC official says COVID-19 cases and deaths are underestimated in the U.S. Moderna starts phase 2-3 trial of COVID-19 vaccine in U.S. adolescents. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported that more Americans have received the flu shot this year than ever before, amid public health warnings of a possible twindemic if coronavirus and influenza both surge this winter. Surveys show that Americans have mixed feelings about accepting a vaccine once it is federally approved. Between 33% and 47% of respondents said they were not willing or not likely to get vaccinated. after protesting coronavirus restrictions in front of the governor's mansion in October. Texas Agricultural Commissioner Sid Miller said Wednesday that he has tested positive for the virus. At least three Texas Board of Education members test positive for the coronavirus after in-person meeting. CDC official says on day one of vaccine program, systems will be in place to monitor safety. And the U.S. House of Representatives on Wednesday approved a one-week extension in funding for the federal government, a move aimed at giving lawmakers more time to hammer out agreements on spending bills and emergency economic relief. Now here are some short articles. FDA approves at-home test that can be bought without a prescription by Katie Shepard of the Washington Post. The Food and Drug Administration on Wednesday approved an at-home coronavirus test that adults can use without a prescription. LabCorp's Pixel COVID-19 test home collection kit allows people to take a nasal swab at home and mail it back to the company to be analyzed for coronavirus. If the test is negative, the results will be emailed to the user. If the result comes back positive, a healthcare provider will deliver the news over the phone, the FDA said in a statement Wednesday. The public can buy the kit without a prescription, unlike previously approved home kits. While many home collection kits can be prescribed with a single online questionnaire, this newly authorized direct-to-consumer collection kit removes that step from the process, allowing anyone to collect their sample and send it to the lab for processing. Jeff Schurin, director of FDA's Center for Devices and Radiological Health, said in a statement Wednesday. LabCorp officials said Wednesday that they hope the at-home test will allow more people to get screened for coronavirus and encourage people to make better informed decisions about whether to quarantine. We are empowering people to learn about their health and make confident decisions. Brian Cavini, chief medical officer and president of LabCorp Diagnostics, said in a statement. He added, "We can help more people get tested, reduce the spread of the virus, and improve the health of our communities." El Paso reports highest daily total of deaths due to COVID-19, from CNN's Kay Jones. El Paso is reporting its highest daily total of deaths related to COVID-19 on Thursday. The 44 deaths reported today occurred over the past 4 months, the city said. There are still at least 603 deaths under investigation for being related to COVID-19, while officials have confirmed 1,121 total deaths related to the virus. El Paso is also reporting 275 new cases and 43 backlogged cases today, for a total of 91,468. There are 37,527 cases currently active. The El Paso area has seen a decline in hospitalizations over the past 23 days, with 640 patients currently hospitalized with the virus and 248 of those in intensive care units. One in three U.S. hospitals topped 90% ICU capacity last week, newly reported HHS data reveals, from CNN Health's Deidre McPhillips. A CNN analysis of newly released data from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services shows that at least 200 hospitals across the country were at full capacity, and more than 90% of intensive care unit beds were occupied in one-third of hospitals nationwide last week. Patients confirmed to have COVID-19 occupied 28% of inpatient beds and 46% of staffed ICU beds, on average, up from 19% and 37% in the first week of November. HHS had previously reported COVID-19 hospitalization data at the state level, but this data set, released Monday, is the first from the national government to report local facility-level data. The COVID Tracking Project also reports hospitalization data, including data from the HHS, but only at the state level. Data will be reported weekly, with data aggregated each Friday through Thursday. The most recent 7-day collection period started on November 27th, and the time series goes back to August 1st. The data set includes facilities that self-reported data, and this analysis excludes hospitals for which data was suppressed due to small counts. A Reno hospital turned its parking garage into a new wing to treat coronavirus patients. From CNN's Madeline Holcomb and Sarah Seidner. As the number of coronavirus cases across the United States continues to surge, one hospital in Reno, Nevada, has turned its parking garage into a specialist wing for coronavirus patients. Renown Regional Medical Center has come under increased pressure with Washoe County, the region Renown serves, now registering 10 times the number of cases that it did a couple of months ago. It's scary, you know. You don't expect to go to work and be working out of a parking garage, said Janet Baum, nursing manager of the site. We've made it a hospital, so we don't consider it a garage anymore. According to hospital CEO Anthony Slolem, the building went from garage to health center in about 10 days and now houses 700 hospital beds. Among those receiving care at Renown is Rosalia Martinez and her husband of 35 years, Luis. When I found out she was sick, I cried. I thought she was going to die, Luis Martinez said. Now he is recovering from the virus as well, 4 beds down. He coughs at nighttime. I can hear him. And if I yell, he can hear me, Rosalia said. He knows that I am still alive. Though coronavirus patients in parking spaces may sound odd, Luis Martinez said he feels safe there. The space is clean, and the staff are working hard to make sure their patients are all attended to, he said. U.S. regulators are on the cusp of authorizing a COVID-19 vaccine. Here are key dates to watch. From CNN's Jamie Gumbrett. The United States is suffering a devastating rise in cases and deaths from the coronavirus and hopes for a return to a more familiar life pinned on vaccines. U.S. regulators are close to authorizing a COVID-19 vaccine, possibly as soon as this week. A U.S. Food and Drug Administration Vaccine Advisory Committee is meeting right now today to discuss emergency use authorization for the vaccine developed by Pfizer, BioNTech, and next week it meets to discuss the Moderna vaccine. Both vaccines are about 95% effective after 2 doses given a few weeks apart. Once a vaccine is authorized by the FDA, Operation Warp Speed, the federal government's initiative to develop a vaccine, can start shipping and distributing the vaccine to states. Vaccinations won't begin until after a U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention committee recommends the vaccine. Here are key dates and events to watch for. Today, Thursday, FDA's Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee, or VRBPAC, a committee of independent experts with no stake in any of the companies developing COVID-19 vaccines. What's expected? A vote on a recommendation to the FDA on emergency use authorization for Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. Discussion and vote session starts at 3:10 p.m. Eastern Time and ends at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Today, tomorrow, or later. FDA's emergency use authorization decision. What's expected? The FDA's EUA allows shipping to begin, but shots still can't be administered until the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Advisory Committee recommends the vaccine. The FDA will announce this at any time, likely without any warning. Tomorrow and Sunday, December 13th, a vote that the CDC should offer the vaccine to the American public for recommendation to be made official. It must be accepted by CDC and published in CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. And Thursday, December 17th, FDA VRBPAC meeting. What's expected? a vote on a recommendation to the FDA on emergency use authorization for Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine. CDC official outlines how COVID-19 vaccines will be ordered and distributed once authorized. From CNN. Anita Patel with the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Vaccine Task Force said all vaccines will be ordered through CDC's COVID vaccine ordering systems. For the Pfizer vaccine, we will be providing those vaccine orders directly to the manufacturer for distribution to the administration sites. Speaking during the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee today, Patel outlined some of the challenging requirements of the vaccine. The additional planning that is needed for distribution, storage, handling, and use has been underway for the past few months, based on information that we know for the Pfizer product, Patel said. There is a required dedicated cold chain, given the ultra-low temperature requirements of the vaccine, she said. In addition, the timing of the vaccine ancillary supplies, which includes the dilutant as well as dry ice replenishment, has also been a challenge. We have built the distribution system in a way that all three of these elements will arrive within a 36-hour period of time, she said. So once a vaccine is there, these additional pieces will also be delivered to the vaccination site, she added. And now here's the longer piece from the New York Times. Small town, no hospital. COVID-19 is overwhelming rural West Texas. As cases soar in Texas, hospitalizations are filling up from El Paso to Lubbock. The Big Bend region is especially vulnerable, with just one hospital for 12,000 square miles. By Sarah Mervosh, published Wednesday, December 9th. Alpine. It is one of the fastest growing coronavirus hotspots in the nation, but there are no long lines of cars piled up for drive-through testing and no rush of appointments to get swabbed at CVS. That's because in the rugged rural expanse of far West Texas, there is no county health department to conduct daily testing and no CVS store for more than 100 miles. A handful of clinics offer testing to those who are able to make an appointment. Out past the seesawing oil pump jacks of Midland and Odessa, where roadrunners flit across two-lane roads and desert shrubs freckle the long beige horizon, the Big Bend region of Texas is one of the most remote parts of the mainland United States and one of the least equipped to handle an infectious disease outbreak. There is just one hospital for 12,000 square miles and no heart or lung specialists to treat serious cases of COVID-19. But in a sign that the virus is surging nearly everywhere, the counties that include Big Bend ranked among the top 20 in the nation last week for the most new cases per capita. Big Bend, best known for its sprawling national park and the artist town of Marfa, offers an extreme example of the danger playing out across the country as the virus blazes more widely and furiously than ever before, driving deaths to levels not seen since the spring and thrusting many places into crisis at the same time. From California to Texas to Mississippi, hospitals are filling up and health officials in rural communities increasingly fear that they are on their own. There is no neurologist, there is no long-term care specialist, said Dr. J.P. Schwartz, the health authority in Big Bend's Presidio County and a physician at a local clinic. We have no care to help them whatsoever. There is not even a nursing home out here. Even as hospitalizations and deaths in Texas near their summer peaks, local officials fear they have little power to intervene beyond the measures that Governor Greg Abbott, a Republican, has put in place. My hands are tied, said Eleazar R. Cano, the judge in Brewster County, who said he had been advised against imposing a stay-at-home order or other stricter measures that could violate the governor's order. Mr. Cano, a Democrat, compared governing through the pandemic to driving his truck through the desert on an empty gas tank with no cell phone service to call for help. It's helpless, frustrating, close to panic mode, he said. Driving the long miles between Big Ben's sparsely populated towns, it is hard to fathom how a virus that thrives on human contact could flare in a place with so much open space. Hawks rein in the big blue skies. Cell phone service is spotty. Christmas decorations along the road are not on people's homes, but on their ranch gates. Yet somehow, new cases have exploded in recent weeks. In Brewster County, a sprawling behemoth with 9,200 people spread across 6,000 square miles, more than half of the 700-plus known cases have been identified in the last month. In neighboring Presidio County, with 6,700 people near the border with Mexico, cases have quadrupled in the last 2 months, from less than 100 to more than 470. Both communities skew older, with people 65 and older making up about a quarter of the population. The numbers are going straight up at this point, said Malinda Richardson, the Emergency Medical Services Director for the City of Presidio, who coughed sporadically as she herself recovered from the icy chills and knockout fatigue of COVID-19. There are a number of reasons for this spike. The area is so remote that local residents have to travel to El Paso or Odessa for doctor's appointments and to buy necessities at Walmart. With cases soaring across West Texas, the virus may have traveled back with them. Officials also cited everyday movement to and from Mexico, cases among young people at Sol Ross State University, and a surge of tourists undeterred by the pandemic. Visitation was up 20% at Big Bend National Park in October, park officials said. And on Thanksgiving weekend, so many cars clogged the park, it caused a traffic jam. In the liberal artist outpost of Marfa, young people from Austin and Dallas roam the town, sipping almond milk lattes and photographing murals that ask existential questions like, is austerity an illusion? A recent art installation caused a stir with a blatant message against tourism during the pandemic. Everyone here hates you. But tourism, it turns out, is not the biggest part of the problem. The area's limited contact tracing shows more localized spread in bars, in multi-generational homes, and through people who ignore positive test results and continue to work and socialize as normal. In Alpine, the largest city with a population of 5,900, residents wear masks with their cowboy hats to shop at Porter's grocery store, but take them off to eat indoors at restaurants in town. There is far from universal agreement about whether masks are necessary and effective. In a sign of the dispute that has played out on and off social media, the county was left without a local health authority when the doctor in the position, a pediatrician working on a volunteer basis, quit this fall after facing pushback from residents who opposed mask orders and other restrictions. Brewster County, which includes Alpine, has already instructed bars to close and reduced indoor dining at restaurants from 75% capacity to 50%, as required by the governor's order for counties with a high proportion of COVID-19 hospitalizations. But enforcement is spotty, and the governor has barred local officials from imposing rules that are stricter than his own. With resources scarce, local health clinics are a primary option for testing, but even then, the swabs have to be driven 3 hours to El Paso and flown for processing in Arlington, outside Dallas. The National Guard also offers periodic testing. And in response to the growing crisis, new mobile testing vans were scheduled to arrive this week. For those who do get seriously sick, the hospital, Big Bend Regional Medical Center in Alpine, has just 25 beds and a makeshift COVID-19 ward where patients have been sequestered at the end of a lone L-shaped hallway. Dr. John Ray, A family practitioner who works shifts at the hospital said the hospital on one recent day got back-to-back calls about incoming coronavirus patients. One of them had to be transferred to a bigger hospital in Odessa to receive specialized care. Not long afterward, Dr. Ray said, he saw the patient's obituary in the paper. I don't want to see Alpine like the pictures you see in New York, just people dying in hallways, waiting for a bed, said Dr. Ray, 44, who grew up in the small East Texas town of Troop, moved to Wisconsin for his residency, and returned to Texas afterward, settling in the Big Bend region in 2013 for the beauty and the people. He and his wife, also a doctor, usually treat a caseload of strep throat, urinary tract infections, and pregnancy visits. Now, he said, it's COVID, COVID, COVID. Across West Texas, higher-level care hospitals are also full. El Paso, which was recently so overrun with infection that it brought in mobile morgues, is still recovering from its own virus surge. In Lubbock, as many as 50% of beds were recently filled with COVID-19 patients, and on a particularly bad day last week, the city reported that it had run out of hospital capacity altogether. Dr. Ray fears there may come a day when more seriously ill patients who would normally be transferred elsewhere will run out of options. To put it bluntly, he said, if you can't go somewhere else, you're going to die here. A spokeswoman for the Big Bend Regional Medical Center said that the hospital has had enough room so far and has added ventilators, oxygen tanks, and nurses to prepare for a surge. Of 9 patients in the hospital on Wednesday, 4 had COVID-19. Still, many remain worried. Simone Ruby, 46, a graphic designer and musician who owns a coffee shop in Marfa, about a 30-minute drive from the hospital in Alpine, hung a poster outside her to-go window summing up the precarious situation in 4 words. Small town, no hospital. There will be no place for us to go if we get sick. That's the bottom line, she said, sitting on a picnic bench outside her shop on a recent Saturday morning. We'd have to drive to Dallas, said her husband, Rob Gunger, who said he has asthma and had resigned himself to making the nearly 8-hour drive to stay at an Airbnb close to a major hospital if he contracted the virus, to be nearby in case he took a turn for the worst. Like most people in Marfa, which has accepted masks more readily than some other Big Bend towns, he wore a mask even while outdoors. Maybe Phoenix, he added, because it's only a 9-hour drive. For those who live in even more rural parts of West Texas, navigating the coronavirus spike has come with consequences far beyond the virus itself. In the border community of Terlingua, there is just one full-service ambulance for 3,000 square miles. Paramedics have, on a few occasions, had to drive coronavirus patients 3 hours round trip to the hospital in Alpine, leaving the region uncovered for other serious emergencies. That has always been our draw. It's an isolated, beautiful, unadulterated landscape, said Sarah Allen Colando, the county commissioner in Terlingua. But with cases rising, the wilderness is also its own kind of peril. If they have to take someone with COVID to God knows where, how long is it before that ambulance is back in service? She said. Who is going to be there to answer the call? And now I'm going to take just a bit of time to try to describe the photographs that accompany this New York Times article. The first photograph is just, it's a very familiar to me landscape. It's extremely beautiful West Texas scene. It is an expanse of West Texas. You see the mountains that surround Alpine. In the forefront of the picture, and this picture is taken from such a distance that this series of buildings look very small, even at the forefront, is the Big Bend Regional Medical Center. There's a highway going past. There is a long string of commercial storage facility buildings, and it looks like maybe even part of a runway of the airport. Captioning, accompanying photograph, Big Bend Regional Medical Center, the sole hospital for 12,000 square miles, has 25 beds and a makeshift COVID-19 ward with patients sequestered at the end of a hallway. Photo credit, Joel Angel Juarez for the New York Times. The second photograph down lower in the story appears to be the outside entrance of a county courthouse, as the caption I'm about to read explains. There is a man in a suit without a tie, wearing a mask, standing in front of the entrance of the doors on the cement steps of in front of the red brick building. And there is a Romanesque type of columns that encompass the front doors. Caption accompanying photograph. Many businesses in town like Alpine remain open. Eleazar R. Cano, the judge in Brewster County, was advised against imposing stricter measures that could violate the governor's order. Photo credit, Joel Angel Juarez for the New York Times. The next photograph is a scene that's near dusk. It's more dark than it is light, but there's still just a bit of daylight in the sky. And at the forefront of the right of the picture, it appears to be a bar. There's a neon sign that says beer, and we see a white pickup truck that is parked horizontally along the street in front of the establishment, which looks to be some kind of a stone building, an older-looking rustic building with a wooden door that is open, and there's a Christmas wreath that is on the door. Caption accompanying photograph. Tourism at the region's national park in Marfa, a city known for its artist community, is thought to be one reason for the area's spike in COVID-19 cases, but limited contact tracing shows spread in bars and homes as well. Photo credit, Joel Angel Juarez for the New York Times. And then the next photo down is a picture of an adobe building. Looks like an older adobe building. There appears to be places where there used to be windows that are now covered over by more adobe, but it's a slightly lighter color than the rest of the building. And over the one window that still exists, it's a picture, or rather, it's a display in the window, and the display reads, "This town chooses your dollars over the safety of the people that live here. So make sure you get a tote bag." And then there is a heart underneath that last sentence. Caption accompanying photograph. Murals around Marfa have been critical of the town's coronavirus safety precautions. Photo credit, Joel Angel Juarez for the New York Times. Below that, we see a picture of a man wearing blue jeans and a long sleeve button down shirt that is, looks like it's kind of maroon in color. He's wearing a blue medical mask, and he's standing in a walkway, a sidewalk that has railing on the side, and he's leaning against the railing. The building behind him is an adobe structure, and the sign on it reads Marfa Community Health Clinic. Caption accompanying photograph. Dr. Ray and other healthcare providers have moved serious COVID-19 patients to larger cities like Odessa and Fort Worth. And that's the last photo accompanying this story. And that wraps up your coronavirus update for this Thursday, December 10th, 2020, from the Recording Library of West Texas. Coming up next, we'll be bringing you, of course, Christmas music, as we are going to continue doing throughout the holiday season. That'll take us up to 2 o'clock, at which time we'll bring you USA Today with national news. At 3 o'clock, there's our local two-hour broadcast. Here are some of the stories our volunteers are reading today. From the Midland Reporter-Telegram's front page, politics, Landgraf previews legislative session. Economy. City sales tax drops 33% in December. New COVID testing site. Midland Health adds second testing site. And from this Thursday's Odessa American, from the front page, city legal bill tops $87,000 in freedom of information fight. Austin lawyers retained to fight Odessa American lawsuit released. OCA student to graduate early will earn a high school diploma associate degree from OC. And those stories and more will be coming up at 3 o'clock this afternoon. At 6, the Wall Street Journal. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll bring you our locally produced Texas Monthly Archives program. And today, a very special program. It will feature several articles about Laura Bush, which our volunteer Linda will be reading. And she'll feature articles that include a 1994 piece, an article from 2004, and then an interview with Laura Bush from 2010 from Texas Monthly Magazine. That's coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. We'll be back for a Friday edition tomorrow afternoon at 1. Stay well, be safe, and have...
This is a Recording Library of West Texas Community Update.
Starbright Village. Despite a nearly year-long pandemic, the trees will twinkle, the lights will shine brightly, and baby Jesus will warmly greet visitors as the annual Starbright Village kicks off with a virtual tree lighting ceremony December 3rd. The popular holiday attraction, which draws more than 200,000 visitors every year, will be on display through January 1st.
This week, Recording Library of West Texas Radio's series of movies set around Christmas continues with Die Hard.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
It's Christmas Eve in L.A., but a team of terrorists have their own holiday plans.
And I'm telling you, you're just going to have to kill me.
Okay. We do it the hard way.
But the one thing they didn't plan on was New York cop John McClane.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, mother.
This channel is reserved for emergency calls only.
Lady, do I sound like I'm wearing a pizza?
Is it artillery on us?
You idiot. This is the police.
He's an easy guy to like.
Welcome to the party, pal.
And a hard man to kill. Bruce Willis. Die Hard.
The audio described Die Hard, Saturday night at 7 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring ting tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go. Let's look at the show. We're riding in a wonderland of snow. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, it's grand. Just holding your hand. We're gliding along with the song of a wintry fairyland. Our cheeks are nice and rosy and comfy cozy are we. We're snuggled up together like birds of a feather would be. Let's take the road before us and sing a chorus or two. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. There's a birthday party at the home of Farmer Gray. It'll be the perfect ending of a perfect day. We'll be singing the songs we love to sing without a single stop at the fireplace while we watch the chestnuts pop. There's a happy feeling nothing in the world can buy. When they pass around the coffee and the pumpkin pie, it'll nearly be like a picture print by Currier and I. These wonderful things are the things we remember all through our lives. Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring ting tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Let's take the road before us and sing a chorus or two. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride. screen. The orange and palm trees sway. There's never been such a day in old LA. But it's December the 24th, and I'm longing to be up north so I can have my very own white Christmas.
But the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go,
let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Doesn't show signs of stopping. And I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
When we finally kiss goodnight. Oh, 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 oh. But if you really hold me tight,
all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying. Dear, we're still goodbye. As long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
you still catch my eye. Tell me, baby, do you recognize me? Well, it's been a year, it doesn't surprise me. Merry Christmas, I wrapped it up and sent it with a note saying I love you, I meant it. Now I know what a fool I've been, but if you kiss me now, I know you fool me again. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone.
A smile, and on every street corner you hear silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling. Hear them ring, soon it will be Christmas Day. Christmas makes you feel emotional. It may bring parties or thoughts devotional. Whatever happens or was may be, here
silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city.
Pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
Really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't
hurry. But maybe just a half
I'll
a drink
put
more.
Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might
Baby, it's bad out there.
Say what's in this
no
drink.
No caps to be had out there.
I wish I knew
your
how.
Your eyes are like starlight
to
now.
To break this spell.
I'll take your hat, your hair looks swell.
I ought to say no,
oh,
no,
my,
no,
if
sir.
If I'm moving closer.
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense in hurting my pride?
I really can't
Baby,
stay.
Don't hold out. Cause baby,
baby
it's cold outside. Cold outside.
The answer is
oh,
no.
Oh, baby, it's cold outside.
No, no. Your welcome
How
has been.
How lucky that you dropped
so
in.
So nice and warm.
Look out the window at that storm.
My sister will be
oh,
suspicious.
Gosh, your lips are delicious.
And my brother will be there at the
Waves
door.
Waves on a tropical shore.
My maintenance mind
oh,
is
gosh,
vicious.
Oh, gosh, your lips are so delicious.
But maybe just a sip.
Oh, never such a blizzard before.
I got to get
but
home.
But baby, you'll freeze out there.
Say, lend me
oh,
your
up to your knees out there.
You've really
I'm
been great.
When you touch my
but
hand.
You don't see.
How can you
no,
do
no.
this thing to me?
It's bound to be talked tomorrow.
Think of my lifelong sorrow.
At least there will be plenty in black.
If you have pneumonia and
but
die,
I really can't
get
stay.
Over that hold out.
Oh,
cause baby,
baby, it's cold. Cold
outside.
Mm-hmm.
next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, USA Today, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 3.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 76 and clear. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-50s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-60s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.